Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for the applause. Thank you for the applause. I want to welcome everybody to It's All About You radio show, where you have myself, Tiffany Thompson, and you have Dennis Weston, and we are live. We are live every Wednesday night from 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we just want to welcome you to the show. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dennis, for the welcome. Thank you for the applause.
You're very welcome. It's an honor. It's an honor to have me on the show, and to be here with you, especially on this day here that we're about to speak some life to these people, huh? You ready for that?
Yeah, because We ain't seen you in a long time. We ain't heard from you in a long time. The people,
yeah,
just, they've been missing you. Yeah, they've been asking,
yeah,
about you.
Oh, they have? Oh, well, yeah. I'm always tuned in. I'm always here. I'm always on the back end. You know me. You know that the night job is really kicking my butt, and then just trying to make sure that the back end is working good for you, so you keep on doing what you're doing on these Wednesdays, and keep on making that history. You know, it's an honor to even have you doing your shows on these Wednesdays. So when I'm not here, I'm here, but I'm not here. But, you know,
amen,
every time you need me, when you really need me, I'm here for you. So, and then, you know, especially for today and what we're talking about here today, man, it's going to be real. It's going to be a lot of sensitive things that's going to be happening. It's going to be a lot of, you know, we're going to have to stay decent in the order to have it going on. But I know sometimes when we have sensitive topics and we're talking, it hits home. So, you know, some people won't be able to speak. I just want to say freely, but you got to still respect. We have these pastors and apostles on the line too, as well as we're on the line too. So if you could control the cursing, definitely try to do that. But I know they definitely understand, as far as, you know, people got to get out what they try to get out, that they can't, you know, they can't get out because they see it on TV all the time, or they hear about it on the radio all the time. They be having one, they want to put their, you know, say their input on it, but they can't. You know, when you talk to something, they don't talk back. So now you had an opportunity to talk back. So we just say, just respect the time frame and respect the, definitely just the Thompson show. I respect these pastors and apostles that's on the line here that we're going to have today. All of that, it's all about you, Tiffany. Let's get it.
Hey, amen. It's all about the people. It's all about God first, and it's all about the people. And I'm very excited about this show tonight. I really am. And I really don't want to prolong it because we don't have much time, and I want to be fair to everyone that's listening in, those that's calling in and with questions and concerns, statements or whatever. I want to be fair to them because, again, the show is about them. It's about God first, and it's about his people. So whatever we do, we want to, again, be respectful. Like Dennis was just saying, be respectful toward one another. Hold the language. We understand, you know, it's a lot of hurt out here. There's been a lot of bloodshed. And we know that at the end of the day, we have a God that's going to resolve all of it at the end of the day. But we always want to open up in prayer. And so tonight I want to open up in prayer before we bring the round, those that's at the round table, before we bring them on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you tonight. Father, we thank you, God, for this show. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to even come before your throne, God, to even come before you, Lord. We thank you, God, for every listener on tonight, God. Father, we pray right now that every heart and ear, Father, is attentive, Father, to yours, God, and that, God, that we're sensitive, Father, to the need of your people, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Father, we pray most of all, God, that you have your way, God, and that you be glorified, Father, in it all, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, God, that deliverance, solution, Father, come forth on tonight, Father, and that healing, Father, most of all, God, that it comes forth, Father, on tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, anoint every listener, anoint the round table, anoint the apostles and the pastors, Father, anoint those that's not even, Father, that has this type of title, but has a title even at home, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we just bless you, we honor you, Father, and we just pray, God, that your will is done, and that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray these things, and we pray with joy and thanksgiving, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So I'll have to now, so I'll go right into a commercial break, and then we'll go ahead and bring a roundtable discussion in, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, she'll be coming up any second now. Yeah, okay. I guess they don't even want us to do the commercial. They want us to go straight into it. I have no problem with that, too.
Okay, not a problem. Bring them on.
Okay, absolutely. Actually, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to try one more time. So I'm going to refresh it. And then we'll go ahead and just bring everybody on in. Get it going. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to bring them on in. We have Pastor Keith Strong, and we have Apostle Riley Brown. Riley Brown will be in right now. You see here. We got Pastor Keith Strong.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We got Apostle Riley Brown.
I'm going to say Apostle Riley Brown. Apostle Riley Brown?
Apostle Riley Mayberry, I'm here.
Apostle Riley Mayberry, I apologize. Look at I'm messing
no,
up already.
No problem.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Apostle Riley Mayberry, I want to address that back. And we got Pastor Keith Strong on the line. I want to welcome you all for coming right in. And blessing this day today, especially on the Tiffany Thompson Show. Pastor Strong is a little bit new to us, but, you know, Apostle Mayberry, you know, he's part of the family. We're going to bring Jebediah Brown in, too, Pastor Jebediah Brown. We're going to bring him right in shortly. You know, they already are part of the family. So we want to say, Pastor Keith Strong, welcome to the family, sir.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, actually, we're going to go ahead and let Tiffany Thompson, if you want to go ahead and get it started, go right ahead. If you guys want to say something, you want to share something, go right ahead, and then we just get right into it.
Well, I would say we can do a small introduction. Let them introduce themselves.
Okay, well, I'm Pastor Keith. Me and my wife, we're pastors over evangelism and outreach at All Nations Worship Assembly, while I pastor is Dr. Matthew Stevenson, and I'm just excited to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
I am Apostle Riley Mayberry, and I am also a leader at All Nations Worship Assembly with Apostles Matthew and Camila Stevenson. My wife and I have been there for the 10 years that we have been in existence, and I serve as one of the assistant pastors at the church and with the ministry. And I'm also the founder of the Free Indeed Movement.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and move along. Tonight's show, it's concerning the street violence. It's concerning the bloodshed in the city of Chicago. We know it's probably happening all over, but right now the number one city that is really happening in is our city, and it's the city of Chicago. And tonight we want to address it. We want to talk about solutions, and we also just want those that are dealing with this anger issue to put the guns down, and we want to, you know, give them other solutions on how to handle what it is that they may be going through, or why they're giving up, or why they chose to take another life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want Dennis to go ahead and kick it off.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Let's see. I'll kick it off first. Since we have it going on. The first thing that I would like to say is, you know, as I look at all these the statistics, if I'm saying it correctly, how they're saying that the number of killings has begun on the weekend. The past 12 people had got shot, some dead, some were murdered, some, you know, was happening, you know, in their areas or in their neighborhoods, or just because it's the 4th of July weekend. You know, to me, it's almost like they present it, or they have it as entertainment. You know, as far as on the news, or now the radios are now starting to come together because they're starting to see that it's a little bit serious here. But I don't think that they getting like really deep down into it. You know, to me, it's a little bit more. I'm gonna go there on the political side versus just in the actual community. And some of the things I had came up with. With Forrest saying, okay, let's see what we can do to help, you know, kill this down some. I mean, I know definitely we can't take away the bullets because, you know, that's number one. Because if you take away the bullets, that would definitely be nothing but the trophies that these people would have, you know, as far as guns. Because a gun is nothing without bullets. You know, they say a person is the one that controls and operates everything, which is true. But if that person don't have no bullets, you know, they say a lot of these people are cowards, and it's going to be more likely it's going to stop a lot of this killings. And I'm just going already realistically as far as what I know that will kind of help solve and stop the problem that's going on right now. Then on top of that, a lot of these people are saying, hey, they don't have time. You know, they don't have time to get out here and to, you know, preach in the highways and the byways, to get on these corners and put up poster signs or wear these T-shirts and march down these streets and whatnot. I said, okay, all right, well, if you can't do that, then what we'll do is, you know how they have, like, the neighborhood watches. I said, why don't you pay them, put them on payroll? So they say it's a lot of free money out there, some 501(c)(3) government fundings that they're giving to these people. They say it's a ton of money, grant money that's not being used, some of us, the people don't know how to use that grant money or to write the grants to get it proposed. I say put them on payroll. You know, me as a person that's a working father, working parent in the household, my thing is, what I think about is, okay, yeah, I see it on the news. I see what's going on. It don't hit home until it hits somebody in my family. Yeah.
You know, a family
yeah.
member gets shot, somebody get hurt, somebody get killed. I don't see it until, you know, my little nephew or my little cousin get hurt. Now I want to jump on the bandwagon when I should have been on the bandwagon a long time ago, because when you look at it, it's some type of affiliation that you knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that knew that person got killed in some type of family, and we all are connected in that way. So I'll just use a simple street. Let's just say Inglewood, 63rd and Low Street. I'm just using the street. Okay, let's say we all just stayed in that neighborhood on 63rd and Low, and let's say, for instance, okay, I work nights, but in the daytime I'm free. You know, I can get on payroll or something like that. You know, go to the alderman, see if I can get on payroll and say, okay, well, I do a neighborhood watch, and it's more like with guidelines, like a security guard. I'm not saying that I'm going to put an S on my chest and go up to every corner if I see somebody on the corner selling drugs or doing whatever it is. I can still
go talk to them people. You know, that's another thing that a lot of us are afraid of, is to go to the forums and talk to these cats or these like young guys, or, you know, say what's going on and say, hey, man, you know, I know that you're doing what you're doing, but at the same time, you can't do it over here. Take that over there somewhere. Well, matter of fact, how can we implement on trying to get these cats jobs that they're taking away from us? Because everything that's going on right now is all population control. If you look at it, how they got these cameras all night. These cameras are being up overnight, as far as the ticket cameras now. Man, I've been riding around. I can see if they slow down safety zone, when you look up, they have a camera put up. But when it comes to somebody getting killed or murdered, don't nobody know what's going on. And you can't tell me that they don't know who's the, you know, who's the culprit or what's going on. Somebody knows something, but they're not going to say nothing because they are already in their own environment. You know, it could be one of their nephews or sons or daughters or whatever, the one that's doing the actual killing, or they know somebody and know somebody that's doing the killing, but they're not going to come forward, you know, because they see the one, they're scared. I live in this area, too. It's none of my business because I'm not the one that got shot or killed. Or three, nobody ain't paying me to tell what it is or what's going on unless, again, until it hits home. So it's like, my thing is, do we got to implement the political standard, meaning that do we got to put these people on payroll in order to stay in their neighborhoods and patrol the area? Because to me, what it seems like, nobody's going to do anything because they have this don't snitch. Don't snitch, don't tell. And that clause only goes with people that are in gangs, or that's something else that goes with their own thing. But when it comes to, like, don't snitch, don't tell, don't have nothing to do with an actual civilian or a regular person, because you're trying to eliminate the crime with what's going on. And I just don't understand, you know, how we can have perfect example, and I'm going to leave it alone right here, and then that way we can go from there, because I don't want to be all over the place. We can have to where it's, now they got it to where it's in the city of Chicago right now. If you don't have your city sticker, you're going to get fined an extra amount of, substantial amount of money, and then they just spring it on you at the last minute. So now they charge you more money to do this versus, okay, somebody got shot on 63rd and Low Street, so now we're not going to go look for it. All we're going to do is look at it as, okay, well, it's another, we're going to call it gang-related. So that way they don't have to do the paperwork on it. Okay, we're going to call it gang-related and just put it up there, because they got it, man. They have so much population control that they already know who's doing the killing. They have the statistics to say, hey, man, we can put people over here in this area, but what about this? They're going to go over here to the next area. So it's just like you put a whole bunch of, you know, fleas or something in a can, and once they get out, they're just going to go to another apartment and infest that. So that's what I'm trying to see. What can we do? How can we come together? Or do we have to put people on payroll to get this stuff down some? That's my main question, is what I'm asking. That's all.
Someone can feel free to speak. We're basically flowing. If there's a response or answer, and I want the listeners to know you are involved. So press the one button if you have something to say, if you have a statement, a question, or whatever. This is a round table, and it's for everybody.
Well, I don't have an answer to the question. Well, so not yet, but I do have two concerns. I think it's one of two things. I think, first of all, what's going on in Chicago, it's a spiritual thing. I think, number one, as far as the climate of our city, and I believe that it's like five churches on each block, and I don't think if these churches can come together and shepherd our city and shepherd these blocks and put money into, you know what I'm saying, outreaches and doing things to, even like I.E. what he was saying, have people patrolling the block. I believe a lack of prayer, you know, a lot of churches, Chicago is one of the birthing places of the apostolic and prophetic movement, and you know, but our city is the darkest it's ever been, and no one has answers. And I think it's the church. I think it's up to the church to step forward and bring solutions, put money into to their communities, to patrol their blocks, to bring back to school events and just bombard the heavens in prayer for our city, because if you look at the politics, the corruption in politics, it's just as equal to all the corruption in the church. So I think that's a lack of structure, and there's a lack of doing church the way Jesus biblically did it. And so when there's a lack of church and people just gather only on Sunday mornings and don't worry and don't try to share with their communities, with the people in their communities, then this is what happened. And number two, I believe people need to be honest, like even with it's politics. I believe most of the people who are getting killed or who are suffering from the violence is African Americans. And, you know, and no one's educating them about, you know, there's still systems set up for black men to fail, you know. Most people getting shot on weekend are all 12 through 21 that's getting killed or who are the shooters. And, you know, and there's 30, all the schools are being closed in the black neighborhood. So that means kids have to walk 10 blocks to a new school, so they'd rather stay home, or their parents don't have enough bus money for them to get to school. So that's causing more kids, young kids, to stay home. And people, you have to be honest, like, and even with politics, it's kind of like, it's set up. It's, these avenues are set up for African American young men and women to fail, and there's really no solutions, no jobs, no anything. Even IE Stateway. I remember 10 years ago, I was terrified to go down State Street on 35th or 47th, and now you had drug addicts hung out on corners, literally high on corners and curbs. Now you walk down, now you see condos, people walking their dogs, birds chirping. It's like the government moved everybody out and just displaced all the gang heads and gang leaders and dispersed them in certain neighborhoods. So now there's no chief. Everybody's trying to be a chief. Everybody's trying to be the next man. So everybody's, you know, they have no job. They have no avenue but other to sell drugs and to rap. So I think we have to be honest with our people. Like, some things are set up for us to fail. So we have to come together as black people, i.e. the church, putting in jobs in our community, spending that money instead of making another new building, build a McDonald's and employ your people. It's a lot of ways that the church could, even like i.e. food stamps should have been a church idea, not a government idea. You know, because if you look at the food stamp from the government, in order for a black woman and her children to get a food stamp, there cannot be a father in the home. So if a father's not in the home, that means that the kids don't grow without a father. That means she told me that man, in order for me to eat and have a roof over my head to get Section 8, a man can't be in the home. So it's kind of like, it's kind of set up for us to fail. So the church has to come together and be the solution. Spending money, marches, and intensive prayer and fasting for our city and for our politics, and raising up leaders that can, i.e., run for governor or run for alderman that are pure and holy, and that can, you know, bring some change upon our city. So I think that would be one of our solutions. Our church rising up, unifying, i.e., time, money, and resources, and coming up with programs and coming up with everything so we can take back our streets. You know, because Chicago is a great, amazing place with great churches, and it's 20 churches on each corner. So I would think that would be one of the solutions.
Amen. I 100% agree. I 100% agree with Pastor Keith in that we have a lot of churches, and we have the ability and now the opportunity to really create solutions that's going to yield fruit. I think a lot of times we become so emotional with the issues of our city that we begin to build movements and build things out of emotion, but we are not sitting down to properly plan with wisdom on how to yield the best fruit. I don't think that we need to place the focus on making any one person, institution, church, or anything else name great, but I think we need to all come to the table and bring all of our solutions together, because you know what? Chicago is a big city, and so it's impossible for there to be one universal solution that's going to cure everything that we are seeing wrong with our city. And so I do believe that there are multiple solutions that will work in different areas, that if we could come together with the same agenda, which is to heal our city and to see God begin to move in our land and begin to see this surge in violence die and to see You know, one thing that breaks my heart is that not only are we seeing this surge in violence, but we're seeing such a lacking of morals and decency in our communities. And I believe it's because those that have leadership potential and those that have the ability and the resources to restore the decency in our communities and our morals, we're off on our own agendas. And so I believe, you know, like one of the solutions that's dear to my heart is I believe the breakdown of the family system is leading to a lot of the lack of morals and indecency that we are seeing in our communities. I believe that it has a lot to do, as Pastor Keith touched on, with fathers and men being in households. And even those single mothers where the fathers are not involved, having men from churches and men from the community, why can't we come together and set up community centers? You know, us brothers come together and say, we see a vacant property on 63rd and King Drive. Let's come together and let's buy that property. Let's do what we have to do to get grants. Let's build a community center. And as men, let's go out here on these streets and in these houses where the fathers are absent, and let's capture our sons. The thing is it should not take for it to hit home before we all become passionate about it. I am not just concerned about my sons, my natural sons, and my daughters, but I am concerned about the sons and the daughters that don't have a father or a man, a positive male role model in their lives every single day. So my heart is to see there to be a coming together of men in our society to bring the solution. I think a lot of times we become so divided because we are being moved by emotionalism. And if we can put a lot of this emotionalism to the side and search out wisdom and what's going to yield the fruit, I think we'll see some viable solutions raise up in our community. We can yell for the government to give us money. We can continue to yell for city officials to give us support. But the real solutions already lie in the people that's living in the community. Now it's and having their churches in the community. And so now it's about us coming together and pouring what little resources we have individually. When we put them together, I believe that can create a mighty force. And we can see this surge in violence begin to dissipate, and we can see a return of morals and decency in our communities. So I believe that is one of the solutions that's dear to my heart.
You know, Mr. Barry, I'm gonna answer that for you too as well. I want to bring in a person. She's been holding on for a hot second, and I'm gonna bring her right in, and then we're gonna get right back to what you were saying too, because you all had hit stuff that really struck us. I'm gonna bring her right in here. Okay, hey, we have Virus. Hey, Virus, thank you for holding on. We don't have too much time, so if you can, try to keep it under, like, maybe a minute or so with what you want to say. But go right ahead, Ms. Virus, so you on.
Okay. Just speaking on the community, you know, I'm familiar with the area, the 63rd Street area, so I know there's a lot of violence, the Englewood area, all over there, right? But I want to speak on the North Lawndale area. You know, they have certain people out there with the green blue jacket things on, and I guess they're like watching the community or doing the community watch, but what are they really doing? You know, are they talking to the guys that's out there selling the drugs or where their minds are a little crooked, so things aren't at home, aren't all the way together, so they feel like they need to run to the street life. Okay, that's who they're looking up to as big brothers. And it's not always if you don't have a father in the home, because you can have a father in the home, and just because you have older friends or different friends that's doing different things, you could run out there to that life. So basically, it takes a village, as they say, to raise a child. You know, it takes a whole community. So I don't know if that was Mr. Brown who said that. You can't. It's not all about the church. You know, I mean, the church, you know, they should do a part because they're part of the community. They're part of the village. But I could agree with Dennis and Mr. Brown on that it takes everybody. You know, we have to get out here and talk to these children. We have to show them something different, let them know it's something else out here to do. Because right now I have two you know, he was 18 and 15, and I did everything I could, you know, raising them in church and everything. I lost two jobs trying to show them the right way, and the system still got a hold of him. So, you know, it takes outsiders as well as inside the home, and, you know, that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone want to kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah, I wasn't going on that. Well, personally, I do put it on the church. I do believe that there could be a father in the home, but just because you're in the father in the home, you can still be absent. So we need programs, and we need other men to show men how to be real fathers and how to be a father that spends time with his children when he's small and in high school. You know, we need progress. So a lot of guys don't know, like me, my father, I didn't grow up with my father, so I didn't know what that looked like. You know, so I know I made mistakes down the road. You know, I'm a great, and I have four kids, and I love all my children. But I do believe it's based on the church to teach me how to be first a godly man and a godly father, you know. And, you know, I know she said she had two boys, but it's only so much a mother can do. You know, you can raise them as much as they can. And as well, the church doesn't make men attracted to church, you know. Either it's boring, either i.e. too many women, or either they feel like, you know, it's gay to be sensitive or to love the Lord. But being a godly man is the best thing any man can ever be. Or because you can have good morals, but it doesn't, I mean, it's okay to have good morals, but I believe it's based on, because the government is not going to give you programs how to be a good father. They're not going to offer you programs on how to be a good father or how to raise your son. They don't care about that, you know. Most of our black men are either in jail or either dying, so why would they give that to you? But it's up to the church to show other men great examples on how to be a man, how to go look for a job, how to count money, how to be a father, how to lead your house. So you can't leave it up to the government, because they're going to sell it. So, yeah.
Amen. We got a couple of more callers for you all, okay? Okay, we're going to bring Mr. Michael Smith. Mr. Michael Seifer on. Okay, hello?
Yes, I'm bringing him here right now. Mr. Michael Seifer, you online.
All right, hey. I just want to make your comments about the gangs, the communities. Definitely been a part of the community, street gangs myself, former street gang. But things that's happening in the black community is nothing new in Chicago, period. It's just when it reached a high, that's when it gets magnified. But then we become nervous, uneased about it, and we go to prayer about it, you know, which we should be praying beforehand. But before we talk about how solutions or what we can do to stop this or make it at ease, I think that we need to get behind people that's already doing something instead of trying to get everybody to do something, waiting for everybody to join in. We need to push behind those who are doing something. You know, we have a lot of people that's out here that's working hard, diligently, to fight the gangs or violence in the community. And if we get behind those people instead of trying to magnify the people that's not doing anything, then we'll never get nothing resolved. And another thing is the school system. If we can get them at an early age, right now what you're dealing with is spiritually. We know this spiritually, but these people are at age where it's going to be hard to affect them. So if we can, we can rival. But we got to go back to the youth to get those that are younger and catch them in school and raise them up. The school system, some of these schools need to be shut down. And the thing is, if we can open up schools and make sure they're teaching, because some of these schools I done came up in, they wasn't teaching anyway. So we can't blame them for shutting some schools down and people that are getting paychecks and complaining every year to get more money. And some of them deserve it, but most of them didn't. And now it's affecting our children and then it's affecting the homes. And most of the people that's in their homes, they either on crack or some type of drug or something that altered their life. You know what I mean? So we need to get back to those and reach those people that have programs that's dealing with shelters, get behind those that have one. We don't need the whole neighborhood to have a shelter. Just get behind the one that's small. As fast as not today, a small beginning. So if we get behind them, then we'll do great things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's,
amen.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Like you said, it's a church here, church here. They churches next door to each other. And all of them are not, to me, making an impact. You know what I'm saying? But get up under, you know, a church in this community that you know this man is powerful. You know the power of God is there. You see people's lives being transformed, and that's the number one thing is transformation. If you see that, instead of being envious and trying to build your own kingdom, humble yourself and just take
Lord.
The tools, the gifts, and the talents that you have and go connect with that man.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, I would like to say I 100% agree with that principle, in that instead of everybody trying to make their own name great, as I stated before, I think if we find what's already working in our community, or find someone like the last caller just said that's already doing something, take our talents and abilities and let's go and help them expand what they are already building, and so it does not become a thing of competition, because that's another thing that I think kills us in having a voice in our communities and across our city, because we are saying we're all together, but then we start to fight one another because I believe what I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. And so if we can come together and help one another build and stop stepping on top of each other, but come alongside and say, let's walk this road together, and I'll use what I have to help expand whatever it is that you're building, as long as it is fruitful and as long as it really is having an impact in the community, I think that'll be a greater, we'll see a greater measure of fruit in our city.
Sure. Amen.
Okay,
I have one more
call.
Valencia, go ahead, Valencia, you're online. I know you want to make a statement. Go ahead, you have the floor.
excuse me. I just like to say I want to piggyback on the caller, the gentleman before me. I totally agree. We have to go back to where these children are younger. We are waiting too late to catch them. And by the time they're a teenager, so many things have been taught to them, whether it's by the streets or whether it's at home, learned behavior. All of that, it's too late then to try to come in and try to change them. Then it's time to go on the warfare, because then the evil spirit already has them. The demonic spirit already has them. We have to go back to the basics. And there, I know it's a lot of pressure that is put on men to say, okay, well, the father is in the home and, you know, the man in the community. But I believe that it's a responsibility to the women as well, whether they are mothers or not, because the women are the one that ultimately chooses the man. You know, like, you lay down with this man, you have a baby by him, you knew that he wasn't going to be there. Majority of the time, you know he's not going to be there. So I feel like we need, as women, to go out and reach back to the younger girls. They're having babies at 13 and 14 years old, and they can't take care of their children. So why would we put anything on the men to do it, you know? Like, and I just feel like the younger girls need to be nurtured. They need to know what it is to be a woman. They need to go back to consecration. They need to grab the girls. Everyone is concerned because the majority of violence is committed by boys, but those boys are someone's son. That's a mother's son. And I think that we let these girls run around and we see them and we don't talk on it. We get on social networks and we talk about how awful they dress and how filthy their mouths are. But you know what? Check them in the street. Check them in the street when they're 8 and 9 years old and they walk by you and they're cussing. You stop them. Where do you live? I want to go talk to your mother, because that's where it begins. From the womb, these babies are coming into the world with all this craziness going on. So I just feel like the women need to reach back to the younger girls and give them a sense of value about themselves, teaching them about self-respect, and a lot of this can be alleviated back then, because then we'll have wiser mothers. When you have a baby when you're older, you're a lot wiser, and you make a lot of better choices.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you so much. I really want to make a statement concerning what she said. And I find that to be true. But then also we have to look at this age that we're in. When I grew up, the whole block knew everybody's family. All neighbors knew each other. All neighbors knew who the mama was, the father was, if there was a father, sister, brother, kids. If you did something wrong, that neighbor was able to pull you by your coattail, take a branch, whoop your butt, discipline you, or know that you were supposed to be in the house at a certain time. And when that neighbor got on you, that neighbor did not, your parents did not have a problem with that neighbor disciplining you or saying anything to you. Nowadays, I got to keep it 100. If you say something to anybody's children, and I see this even in the church, if you tell somebody else's child to be quiet, sit down, stop running, stop doing whatever, just being discipline them and get them in line, that parent gets upset. That parent gets mad. That parent has something to say. And because of that, that caused so much disrespect in the community now, because now if you say something to my child, what's going to happen is that parent coming out the door with their child and they ready to fight. Don't say nothing to mine, which now you sow the seed of this of totally disrespect for that next door neighbor in that community, your community, because now when that child come out the door, he's looking at you as, say something to me again and watch my mama come out and fight you, or watch my mama say this or say that. Even parents are so disrespectful, they get to the schools and do this. So it starts, I agree, it starts at home. But when you get, when they're at a certain age already, or when you have a child that parent is defending them at 100 instead of disciplining them, telling them you don't get small with adults. I don't care if that adult was wrong. You do not call back till you come back and get me, and let's address this in the right way. It starts at home. I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree in that, you know, I think it's all in the delivery as well. We have the opportunity to, I think, impact more lives than we probably do. In the industry, I work in the cable industry personally, and I'm in and out of homes every single day, and I work in different parts of our in our community. And when I go in homes where children are being disrespectful, children that are old enough that should be able to read and write, instead of me bashing the parent or speaking to them in an intimidating manner, I approach them in love, and I encourage that child and I encourage that parent while I have the opportunity to be in that home with them. If I see a child being disrespectful, I try to speak words of wisdom to the parent in love so that they don't feel like they're being judged and they don't feel like I'm coming down on their children, but in a way where they can receive what it is that I'm saying. And so I think that if we maintain consistency in our delivery and our approach with what is happening in our community, especially with our young children, because it does start when they are young, if we pay attention to that and watch our delivery and our approach, I think we'll have the ability to be much more effective in reaching them.
Yeah. You know, I had a Tiffany Thomas. I believe, I think people have lost the essence of what community is, and people have gotten lazy and selfish, because back in the day, you would have a cop on the beat, and that cop on the beat knew every person's house, knew every business owner name by name. Even everybody on the block knew the officer on the beat, or either the pastor knew every business owner, or the politician knew every business owner, who lived well, what they did. But everybody has gotten so... I guess that's what was the internet, but everybody got lazy. They lost the essence of what community is. So, you know, the police never get out the car. They really don't speak to people. They don't know the business owners. The pastors don't know who in the neighborhood, who own what. Or they don't, so even they don't even support each other. Each business, they don't support one another. So I believe everybody has really lost the essence of what community used to look like back in the day. You used to borrow sugar from the person next door. If your water was out, you used to go use their washroom across the street. It's like, we all lost the essence of what community used to be like, from the politician, from the pastor, or even to the police officer, because they don't even walk the beat.
Yep.
Amen.
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 Okay, I have another caller.
Another caller. Her name is Sandra. She has her son, Chris. He's younger. He wanted to speak on the topic of tonight. Okay, Sandra, you're online now. You can put your son on the phone, Chris. Okay. Hello? Hi, Sandra? Chris? Okay, I guess we... We'll get back to him then. Okay. All right. Well, let's see here. We do have something. I've been going in and out because I've been on the back end, just speaking on, you know, trying to introduce myself and trying to introduce the show. Today's show is we're putting the guns down, and we have Apostle Riley Mayberry, and we have Pastor Q Strongs. I myself, motivational speaker Dennis Weston, and we have actually, you know, the actual host on the Tiffany Thompson show. It's all about you. And if you all want to call in, it's 347-838-9106. We're not going to cut any commercials because we know for the time, every time is really valuable right about now because there's a lot of people that's online. That's actually hitting our Facebook pages up right now, actually hitting us up on the inbox, actually is just even speaking in. And you all have valid points that is like really beautiful. You know, my thing that I was kind of going in on is more so, even if we look at the these high pastors and they have these mega churches or they have these higher ones or even have next door churches or these storefront churches, you definitely know that the pastor that has the mega churches that owns these businesses and that's building these relationships with them definitely can go to the actual mayor, alderman, governor. They got them on speed dial that we can set up something and build a relationship with the younger people that got the younger voices right now that's in training. Because if you really look at it, the ones that has the smaller voices in the neighborhood know way more than what's going on with the ones in the megachurches. The megachurches are really going for the world. You know, they outreach, the outreach ministries are really they welcome in whoever comes, you know, across that church door. Some do go, like you said, into the communities. Some do have the beat walkers. But you know what, though? What I have learned is when I was doing my research, what's going on right now is the foreigners are coming over here now, and they buying up the areas that we had, you know, sitting in the African-American areas. What they're doing now is they take away the basketball rims where everybody hang out at, and they put a police station over there. They, you know, they actually build a police station for the police officers to go over there because the police, it really works for us. We pay their taxpayer dollars, but, you know, a lot of people don't know that. And they'll put the police station in there. Then what they start doing is they start taking away our schools that's not really doing nothing academically, and they'll cut them out and send our kids over to, you know, way across another town. Then you got other gangs, and these kids trying to go over there to school. Now, guess what? They dropping out because they can't go to school and learn something because now you're in another territory that you're in another gang from, and you can just have on the colors. Even some of the colors, they have these straight colors with the khakis and the blue and the khakis and the red. Them actually represent gangs too. Even if you have one form of uniform, it's just all about who you hang around with. It's kind of messing up. And that's what's happening with these foreigners. Once they take these basketball rims away, like how we used to have the midnight league, the basketball, they take that away from the kids. Now they're taking away other little things that's going on right now that we can and have something form of unity. And that's what, and that comes down to a sense of population control. And population control means that the people from the police, from all the way from the Inglewood, all the way to the Lawndale area, all the way to the west side of Maywood, Bellwood, all the way to the north side, going up into the Rogers Park area, they know. Do y'all remember when they came out that gang book, when they had all the gang affiliations and they got sued because some guys had, they reformed themselves, and some of the guys that weren't even in it, they just had to put in there. You can't tell me that they don't know what's going on. Man, you got the satellite right now that could be in Egypt right now and tell you what's going over there in Benghazi, but you can't tell what's going on 63rd and Low or 63rd and King Drive. And I'm just using those street names, you know, just because they're more common. And I'm not saying that that's the high-rate area, but, you know, coming from the Inglewood, going from all the way from Halsted, all the way going all the way over east to Yale Street, they automatically, that's where all the killings is coming from. It's so easy right now to get a gun. You get a gun faster than you get a library card now. That's just how easy that they are putting the guns in here. Who do you think giving us these guns? You know, they said right, and that's my whole point. Even the Army, when the Army don't have, and this is just something I'm just saying, when the Army is in war, a soldier, when he's at war and he don't have no bullets, the first thing they say is you gotta travel lightly. That's in the Bible. You gotta travel lightly. You gotta travel lightly, so they gotta throw away their gun in order to survive because he don't have no bullets. But when he have bullets, Your gun is your life. Your gun is your right to blame on these radios, you know, the rappers and all that. They do make an impact, don't get me wrong, but if you notice, that's what's been playing more so on the radios now than more than ever in the black community. I turned to 92.3. I turned to WGCI. Music's pretty much the same. They just clean up a little cuss words, whatever. But when you turn to, like, Kiss FM, B96, you don't really hear all that too much. And that's why we getting pumped and we getting fed the violence of what's going on, what's the latest wear, what's the latest material, what's the latest this. And also, too, last but not least, and I don't want to get long-winded with it, when it comes to going into a family home, and this is what I heard a kid say. He said, okay, I'm 14 years old. My mama on crack. I never knew my father. I got two brothers and one sister that I have to raise. So when I get up to go to school at the age of 14, what I'm walking by in my neighborhood, all I see is what I know. I see this guy with rims. I see this guy with this. You don't really see the pastors on the corners no more or preaching in the highways no more. Why? Because they consider it crazy. When you walk past all that pastor crazy because he preaching the word. You know why the pastor consider crazy is because they don't know the Bible. They don't know what's going on in the Bible. I hear more spiritual now than religion now. And it's like, okay, what's the difference? Okay, I know the religion has their laws and their policies, but spirituality have it to where it's, okay, now I know I'm spiritual, but I don't have to go to your church to learn whatever it is. It shouldn't even matter when you go to that person's church. If they preaching the good word, which everybody should learn, the Bible, the I'm going to say it like this, the Bible, your Kingdom Hall Bible, your Quran, your Torah, whatever it is, it all boils down to one God. And every Bible that I have read, it preaches peace. It don't have nothing with doing killing or you got to listen satanic. It preaches peace. So, like Pastor Mayberry has said, he went inside, you know, he does the cable. He went inside and he tries to talk to somebody. It's a lot of sensitive parents. You can't tell me nothing about mine. That's been going on since the 90s. You can't tell me nothing about this one. Don't touch this one, or you can't do this. And yeah, that's the one that be doing it all.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? So I just say, man, as far as when we stay coming together, I mean, we can start right now. Me and Tiffany Thompson said, we could make this a every Wednesday affair until we could come into a building and broadcast it live, and we could sit down and we could do this every Wednesday going forward if we're going to have some type of foundation. We got to have a nucleus first. What can we get started? We have a lot of statements and suggestions of what's going on, but at the same time, who are we going to get to be the forefront to go and do it? Yeah.
But can I say something?
Absolutely.
I really want to say this because I heard one of the young ladies talk about whether it's a father in the house or not a father in the house, or talk about the Bible and the church and so forth. Sometimes we can't prevent a father from being there or not being there. Sometimes you don't know. You don't know if somebody going to turn on you, and you don't know, and it's not. And it's a lot of fathers missing. They've been murdered, or they may have died of sickness. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we don't know all the time. But I want to say this. If you don't have Christ in your house, whether a man there or not, you are in trouble, period.
Yeah.
Because if he tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go, so when they're older, they won't go far. He didn't say they weren't going to go astray. They weren't going to go far because it's the word that's in them, that training that you've done at home, going to pull them back. They won't go far. So I just can't say, you know, we can talk about what the government ain't doing, what the government is doing. I've been to jail myself, and I've been to jail visiting people. And they have a big sign in the Cook County visiting room that says, spend time with your child at home so we won't have to later. This is their sign at the what's that, 31st in California. This is the sign in the jail. They let you know, spend time with yours. then we won't have to. But the Bible tells us that in the beginning, to train up a child, train them up now. I have a one-year-old grandson, and I own my son like white on rice. I told my son, the next time I come out here to see you, because they live an hour away, my grandbaby better know how to pray. You know why? Because I know before you left my house, I taught you. I trained you. You know how to pray. My grandbaby better know how to pray. That may seem odd to somebody else, or it may seem harsh, or it may seem that I'm hard. No, I know that the devil ain't playing, and he's waiting for my baby to get to kindergarten, and he going to put somebody in his trap. He going, you know what I'm saying? Come on. Somebody's going to come his way. But if he already trained up at a baby at that age. And I even heard Apostle Mayberry, how he talks about how his children pray together. That's the same way I taught mine before they decided to hit the street. They pray together. Yeah. They hold hands. And it's sad because to some people, this is not the norm. It's like you making your baby pray at 1 year old. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because God answers prayer. And he said, humble yourself such as a little child. So I'm talking about the word, because all of this, when it all boils down, like Keith Strong said, is spiritual. This is a spiritual battle. But if we're not doing what we're supposed to do at home, all we getting is the after effects. What we see now is what we didn't do at home. What we see happening in the streets, the bloodshed, the murder, and all of this is what we didn't do at home. And I'm done.
I respect that too, as well as but the only thing is, what I say when it comes down to political, we can pray all day, we can pray all night, you know, and that's good. But the thing is, when it comes down to, you know, trying to go in front of Rahm Emanuel, you know, or trying to talk to the alderman of the area, or trying to talk to somebody, you know, Democratic or Republican that can really say something, or even going all the way to your congressman, yeah, it's going to be on a hope and a prayer to try to get them to see what's going on just in Chicago alone, because right now, like I stated, it's still entertainment to them. Because you know why? Because these guns and these bullets are making them money. It comes down to the money, the interest game. What do we have going on? We can be here all day saying, hey, let's get together, let's get to church, come to church, come every Sunday. But then when Monday get here, you got to face right now back to what, the real world. Yeah, I did pray with you Sunday. I did go to church.
And
I did do
fine.
This, and I have you know, the refreshed, renowned spirit to keep on going for another day. But telling this to a person that that's pockets is hurting right now, or telling this to a person that's living right now in they call Chi-Rec, we call it Chi-Town, right now, that's hearing the guns flashing and the police flashing every day, they're not even thinking about it. They're trying to figure out, what can I do to help stop this in this area, to help stop doing this, of what's going on. Because right now, I was raised up, you know, so I was raised up, trained up, when it came down to the Bible, and when it came down to being prayer. My grandmother taught me, my auntie taught me, my mama taught me. When I started getting into the Bible and getting into the Word, I was like, man, this stuff familiar. And it was going like hand over fist, remembering the spiritual words and going into it. But at the same time, when everything boils down to it, my area was still the way that it is. I still ended up in a gang. I still gang banged. I still, you know, went to jail. I still sold drugs. I still did all these things going forward. But it took me, and my father wasn't there, it took me as myself to say, okay, well, look, man, this is not right. What can I do to get myself out of this first? Now, how can I go back to the community to say, okay, well, man, this is how I got out of it. This is what y'all need to do now, or this is how y'all need to go forward. And like Pastor Strong said, too, he said, man, the communities don't even know each other. You know, these businesses are coming in and just doing whatever, because it's all about the currency right now. It's all about the money right now. Who got this going on right now? And when I made the statement of going to these mega churches and talking to these pastors, they got these governors and, you know, the governors, the aldermen, the mayors on speed dial, because they build a relation, because they are bringing revenue in that area with the people right now. And you got to go to them and say, hey, man, how can we get these people, not just in these mega churches, four and more. I could have a mega church that holds 4,000 or 5,000 people, but then turn around, I have a community in the back of me, a kid hasn't eaten in days. How do I know that? How do I even know? Nobody's not even telling me anything. I'm not even getting out to see what's going on. That's my whole point is, do we have to start paying people to like they do now? Think about it now. They got these the people in jail, like you said, Tiffany, the people in jail, they want their snitch on you just to get out of jail. They don't want to do no time for nobody else. How can we do this? Do we have to do this with putting people on payroll? So that way they know that they're getting paid to do what they're doing. How can we come together and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. I'm not saying that it's going to put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, but at the same time, it's going to stop some of the bleeding in that area, and maybe that could trickle effect to whereas now we got it down to a minimal. Because right now I just see the entertainment of, man, the ratings went up. 12 people got shot this time. 9 people got shot yesterday. Then on top of that, the other little girl that just got killed on the highway, what's her name, Jasmine, she got shot, and her brother got shot last year. They say they thought it was gang-related, but nobody don't still know who the killer is. But let her have ran a stop sign, or let her would have had speed in the zone. Oh, yeah, we only got a ticket at the door, so you got to pay $100. Oh, yeah, we got those tickets out there now, but you ain't got it to where, okay, we notify who the killer is, we know what's going on. You can't tell me that they don't know why these killings is going on. They are assisting and helping these people provide it. Another thing, off-duty cop last winter, he was at the gas station for gas, and these boys came up on him, and luckily he was off-duty cop, and he had to use his gun to shoot at them and see what's going on, you know, as far as taking them out. These little kids didn't care no more. They don't care about church right now. They don't care about who was a pastor or who was an apostle right now.
Can I get a quick 5 minute?
Okay. All right. She got her sons back on. She's texting me. She got her sons back on. Let's see what he has to say.
All right, wait a minute. Let me see where you at. Okay, go ahead, Chris. Sandra and Kristen, you online. Go right in.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes, hi. How y'all doing?
All right, now, how you doing?
10 young men that's standing out here ranging from the ages of 10 and up, and each one of them had something to say about the violence. But I have my 25-year-old son that's standing here, and he wants to talk to you all for a short minute about how they feel and what's going on about the violence. But I have 10 young men out here that's really pouring out their heart and soul about the violence and how it's really impacting their life, you know, to even come out every day and, you know, just even walk down the street or go to the store. So I'm going to let you all hear from my son at this time and let you all, you know, hear how he feels right now about the violence.
Hello? Yes, hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Go
ahead. You got the floor.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good.
Hello, yeah.
Hi. Okay, Christopher, we have Apostle Rally on Mayberry online. If you have any questions or statements or to them, if you have any questions, we have Pastor Keith. We have Dennis Weston on the line. So go right ahead. Feel free, okay?
Yeah. About the how the violence is in Chicago, right?
Yes.
Put on the radio. Damn it, over here.
Yeah, about the violence in Chicago.
Go right ahead, sweetheart.
Yeah, about the violence in Chicago, you know, it's terrible out here, you know. And, you know, we can't even, you know, go outside, you know, without, you know, someone getting hurt. And it's very emotional out here to the families out here, of everyone out here losing their young ones. I mean, it's just tragic. you know, on the west side, south side of Chicago, you know. And that's how I feel, very emotional about the whole thing.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so Christopher, since you're out there with them and you know, tell us what it is, what's causing it. What's causing all of this reaction? What's going on? What can we do as a person, as a people, as a community? Again, we have pastors and apostles on this line. Now is the time to speak. Normally, you don't have a voice.
Yeah.
Now is the time where you're heard. Okay, so feel free. You don't have to be afraid.
Dimitri, tell them your name. My
name is Demetrius. I want to speak about the violence of Chicago.
Hey, man, go ahead.
Huh?
Go right ahead.
Me, how I feel about the streets of Chicago, why I hang out at the west side of Cape Town, it's been 7 funerals in the last week. That's all I see. I just scared to come outside and walk to the store to get a bag of chips and a pop. That's why I'm ready to move. We moving. The people dying fast.
At least he is on the radio trying to say how he feels.
I can't take Chicago no more. It's just crazy out here. Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
My speech is crazy right here.
Why would he get on here and say anything when that's the real deal? Why would he say anything?
Okay, so what do you think is causing it? What's the problem? Let us know.
Me mostly think I'm from the west side. I think it's the jealousies, the hate, a lot of competition, you could say. That's what I think it's called.
Okay, anybody got something to say to this young man?
If one of the pastors don't mind, I could speak. I don't mind.
I wanted to see if one of them wanted to.
Okay. Well, I do want to apologize as far as on behalf of the church for fathers not being as formal, not coming together, even driving hard for our young black men, but. I mean, we gotta do something because it breaks my heart. You know, you can hear it in their voices how they feel, because Jedediah Brown can't do it by himself. Father Slade can't do it all by himself. So we just need to, you know, I apologize, you know, if me or anybody or our church or any other churches or fathers has dropped the ball, and you know, we want to see them succeed. We want to see them become great fathers and do what God has called them to do, or even their dreams, make their dreams come true. So if we drop the ball, I apologize on behalf of me, any minister or anything, but we got to come up with a solution. I mean, because Jedediah, if he put all by himself, he'll burn out. By himself, he'll burn out. So, wow.
Amen.
Amen.
What's your name again, sir?
Demetrius.
Okay, you're saying your nephew, Demetrius. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Demetrius. Were you ever trained on how to pray, or read the Bible, or anything, or brought up even in the spiritual, in the church atmosphere?
I pray, I believe in a God. I pray,
I'm talking about as a child.
As a child. Yes. Mm-hmm. I come from the streets. I came from the project. I was raised in nice ways, bad ways. I just came up. I could speak for myself personally. I grew up from the streets and I went to school, to high school, graduated. I can't live on the streets of this violence right here. I can't understand how people die left and right. They need to do something about it. See, me personally, I'm hurting out here because there's kids out here.
I have kids. There's kids out here. My friends got kids. We all, I just pray I'll see my daughter and son grow to be 18 and graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And they see me grow up. And then my friends and kids, they ain't seeing their kids coming up. Now you got to look at it like, what is really going on? The real is, I don't think the real comes to an end. It's coming to an end of violence. So personally, I have seen change a lot. I've seen change a lot coming up.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I think we want to do everything we can to support you guys that's out here. I mean, we're all in this together. I have young children. We're walking the same street, and so we're all fighting this battle together, and we want to do what we can to help you guys feel safe out here in these streets. You know, I pray that you get to see your children grow up and graduate.
Yeah.
Live long lives, and it breaks my heart to hear the hurt and hear the pain and hear the despair, which is why I think times like these, we really do have to come together and do what's necessary to save our communities.
Yeah.
Your voice is not going unheard. We hear your voice, and we feel the pain that you guys are feeling, 100%.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank
Amen.
You for speaking up.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Yes,
we're.
Yes, this is Sandra, and I just want to take the time out to say I really do appreciate this because, you know, I'm just a little emotional because I know that my sons and my nephews hurt every day. You know, seeing the violence, seeing their friends grow up getting killed. They just had a friend killed who was buried last week, and they had several friends killed. So it is kind of like a little emotional right now for them. And I'm just thankful and grateful that you gave this time, you know, and this opportunity where they can speak and talk to you all, you know, because I do see how they feel each and every day about the violence and the killings, because they is right here amongst it, and they have had at least 10 friends killed within the last 5-6 months who they grew up with. So I just want to thank you all and thank you, Tiff, so much where you all was able to have this discussion, where I was able to just get them on this line to talk about how they feel. And the young man that you all just spoke with, my nephew Demetrius, which is my sister's son, he is going through a lot right now, and he cares so severely about his children, you know, and the things that's going on, because he come to me all the time and be like, Auntie, can you pray for me? And that's be so heavy on my heart, and I be so grateful that he come to me and just asked me to do that, because a lot of them is just out here just living without any guidance. And I just think that, you know, it's so sad that none of them is able to come up and be, you know, appreciated, to be told that they are loved, and to be told that, you know, you are somebody, and, you know, it don't take this, and a lot of their lives can be changed. But if you don't have that compassion where they need to know and to see it every day, then they just going to think that the streets is the way to go, and it's not. But I just want to thank you guys for having this discussion to where they were able to come on to, you know, express how they feel, because they come to me all the time and say, hey, see, we know we don't go to church, but can you pray for us, including our sons? So I just love you guys, and I just appreciate
you. Do me a favor before they all disappear. Can you do me a favor before they all disappear?
Can you ask all right here, right now?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Listen to what I'm about to say. Can you ask all 10 of them to show up at 6028 South Champlain?
Yes.
Or you know,
could you ask all 10 of them to show up with you?
Yes.
However many you can get.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If they can't make it, me, Apostle Mayberry, we'll go to them. We'll pray for them.
Absolutely.
We'll meet them where they're at, you know. So if they can't make it to the church,
I drive
my car out there and I talk to them. I pray with them, you know, and I chop it up with them. It's more important than getting to the house, so we'll come to them, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I think they need to embrace Because I know, and see, the reason I said that, because I know the men in that house embrace men, love on men. And sometimes in the street, there's no love in the street. There's no love in the street. You don't trust anyone in the street. You don't know who to trust. But just to get that sincere prayer and that sincere hug and that sincere, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate
I agree
that.
With Pastor Keith, we can bring some men over there to them to show them that we are standing with them and we care about them.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, because I see the fear in their eyes. I see the agony and the pain that they go through from the young men that was killed who they grew up with. And, you know, it's the worst phone call to get in the world and say that your child has been killed or, you know, something done happened. So I'm just grateful that our children is still here, and I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just thank God so much that they are still here. You know, and I'm just grateful that you all was able to have this discussion to where they were able to stand here and listen, because they all standing here listening to, you know, what they had to say, and they all just standing listening to what my nephew Demetrius had to say. And I just thank you guys so much. And if you all feel that you want to come and pray with them and, you know, have time with them, that would greatly, greatly, greatly be appreciated. I would thank you guys so much for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's another call that I've been watching for a while, and they've been real patient. And I know we only got maybe 14 minutes left.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. I love you all.
I love you, too. Hello, Dennis.
Yeah, all the callers that has clicked the button is waiting. I click on the back end, and they don't say anything. I don't bring it to the front.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to let them know we acknowledge them, you know, and not just leaving them out there. And we acknowledging them. And, wow, I really heard the hurt and the fear in that young man that was talking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. I think we need to try and get some contact information for her so that we can make good on our word, and we're going to take some men out there.
Yeah.
Okay. She actually goes to our church. So I most definitely can get her information and pass it on to you all
after
the show, or however you want to do it, you know, because they're still listening, whether you want to give your information or whatever. But she is part of Anwar's family. She is a part of the family. I appreciate. I want to say thank you, Apostle, and thank you, Pastor Keith. I really, really appreciate you all taking the time out of your schedules. I mean, y'all work, y'all in ministry, you got families, you know, and I'm grateful for that. I really do, because everybody that's talking is talking, you know, ain't walking the walk. And everybody thinks they're so important that they couldn't make it to the call. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That they weren't able to hear these young men cry out.
Yeah.
I got another one. I got another young man, Antonio. He's finally back in. Tiffany, you want to bring him right in?
Sure.
All right. Hold on. Yes. Okay, I have Antonio. Antonio Spills. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
I just want to address, you know, some of the problems that I see and notice in Chicago as a young man. Basically, it seems like the media plays a large role in it to me, because there's a lot of things that always have happened. I mean, Chicago has always been a violent place since the beginning of times. You know, it's been known for that. you know. But the thing is now is just since it shifted to black-on-black violence, it's like the media, like, they focus on that. When it's a lot of good things happening too. But, like, to me, only way that people only want to get involved once someone they know have got hurt. But before the matter, they approve of the lifestyle that the people who are doing it because they feel like, oh, well, that's the only thing they know. But, you know, approving it and then when something happens to that person, you all about, oh, my God, put down the guns. But the person that might even, I'm not, you know, speaking bad on any dead, but the person who died or, you know, or who was a victim, get celebrated as like they were saying something, but you know no one deserves to die. No one. Period. But you approved of their lifestyle before, and then you know have it's cause and effect. They lived this lifestyle, and then this happened. But people will be surprised. But when someone who wasn't like even in that life or even in that field, an innocent person gets killed, it seems like it's just played to the left, and it's just like oh, but that's sad. And also, I think we need to practice critical pedagogy. You know, a problem is never fully fixed, but you can change one thing, then look at it again, and what else can I change about it? But it's all about, like, how we go about trying to change the problem. I mean, it's always, because it's like people pit the problems against each other. The older generation always tell us, well, back in my day, it's like we fought, we did this, but truthfully, if you look at the numbers, there were people dying and getting shot in just different ways. The crime has just changed. Now it's random shootings instead of, you know, I don't want to say calculated murder, but the like, you know, they was execution style type murders, you know, 80s and, you know, in the early 90s. People were still getting killed, shot over gym shoes and stuff. It's still crime. There's always been crime in Chicago. It's just now, I don't want to say that there's a market for it, but people really want to focus on it because it's like a business. Like other places are reporting on Chirac this. You know, everybody, like it's like, I don't say we influenced it, but like only reason most people in Chicago like say that, oh, this is our lifestyle because that's what it is now because it is very hard to change something so big. And it's basically like a market. Like, that's all people know is, if I don't get a gun, someone's going to shoot me. You know, don't nobody. And then the people who get guns shoot people who don't got guns. And then it's like, then that causes more and more problems because, if somebody in my family dies, you know, by gun violence and I'm a young black male, all I can say is, like, why? That could have been me. So what can I do to prevent that? And then they're going to do the easiest thing, which is, all right, I know I can go get a gun for $50, $60, nothing. You feel me? I can't move my family after hood for $60. I can't move away from the violence for that $100, you know.
Amen.
But, you know, it's just, if people just need to, like, what could you do? You might can't be a speaker or someone who can bring people together, but you can do something. You might know somebody who knows somebody. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. I mean, just speak out. If you could just say something, like, if you surprise somebody and say something, they might be like, whoa, you know, if they said something, I know I can say something, I can change something. Because everybody is sick of people dying and their family members dying, their friends dying, you know. You know, you wake up and you see RIP. It's just like we numb to it. It's like we got post-traumatic stress disorder. Like most people, like we hear sirens and don't even flinch. You know, I remember I went to West Hudson Dales and they heard some sirens and all the people, like all the other people were shocked, you know, hearing sirens and all the black people were just walking. You know, like, well, there's nothing, you know. It's like, wow. We got post-traumatic stress disorder. Or even like we I remember, like, two summers ago, I seen a dude get shot, and it was like, I wasn't shocked about him getting shot. And then we, like, me and my mother looked over him, like, and he took his last, you know, his couple last breaths, and then, like, it wasn't nothing. Like, we went back into a barbecue. We was having a barbecue. He got shot, like, no less than, like, a couple feet away. We went outside, looked at him, and got back to the barbecue. Like, how could it, like, how did he get to that point?
Wow.
Like, that's how it is. But I mean, it's younger and younger, because I know people 13 and 14 who are gunslingers, who out here told them, like, they don't, that's all they know, that's their lifestyle, that's what they do, like, they militant, that's how they is, that's how they minds, they know, alright, that's their sense of family, is they gang, they homies, like, alright, if you ain't with us, you're against us, period, we don't care what you is. And then it's a lot of older people who won't come and say, well, you know, it's about them locking the gang chief. So no, it's none of that, because if they was out here, people getting killed when they was out here. It's a times change. It's the time of the renegades, the time of the so-called insane. Like, they don't, and there's no rules, there ain't no laws to be about bad by. It's old, that's over. You know, everything comes to an end. There's always, you know, for new. But, you know, I just wonder what's going to be after this, because, I mean, I'll put it like this. It's not as bad, it's bad, but it's not as bad as the media paints it. Like, they paint it like, all these deaths and stuff, but we're not in a war zone. Like, people in Iraq, you know, and Afghanistan, they have bombs and stuff coming over their head every day. They worry about, you know, whole towns getting wiped up. I mean, we need to just do better, because there are resources. There are resources. I'm not going to say there are resources. There's always resources. There's tournaments. There's a free tournament at every park all the time in the summer. There's programs. There's a lot of things to do. It's just when people go out and do that, can you get out of that mode of I'm acting like I'm still in the hood? The violence is even downtown. It'd be riots downtown, shootings downtown on the 4th of July, all kinds of stuff. It's just what the media wants to show. There's crime up north. And I live on the west side, you know, so the crime might not be like the south side, but I see different sides. Like the types of crime I'm worried about police putting stuff on me, or, you know, or detectives putting stuff on me, or even, I'm not worried. If there's a chance, but I'm not really worried about someone, like, a random act of, you know, shooting stuff. I'm more worried about getting shot or harassed by police. But it's to each his own. Like, one of my friends from the south side, I can't go home a certain time, because if this bus stop running, I'm going to have to walk through this neighborhood. And I know for a fact there's a definite chance that somebody's going to confront me. And they're not just, you know, all of the types of violence, people aren't getting shot and surviving anymore. It's like every time you hear about somebody getting shot, they died.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
how old are you, young man?
I just turned 21.
Wow. Speaking of distance, man, everything that you're saying, you are exactly right, man. People are so numb to the situation now, because now it's being portrayed as the media that this is what it is, an everyday thing. And I didn't mean to cut you off. I would have let you keep on going on, but we are running out of time. We're going to definitely, if you don't mind, Tiffany. Are you going to do this next week, or are you going to?
I don't mind.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Antonio, for tuning in with us. We almost ran out of time, and we definitely got to let the guests say their last words and what's going on. And also, too, you definitely go to Tiffany Thompson page, everybody, Facebook. Tiffany Thompson, or Facebook, myself, Dennis Weston.
She's my mom's friend.
Okay, great. So they can always get in contact with Tiffany Thompson on her page, or myself, in order to get through. But go ahead, it's all you now, Ms. Tiffany Thompson.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow one of the leaders to close us out in prayer. And I just want Antonio to know that I'm going to hold him up in prayer. And I know we need to do more besides pray, but I'm going to tell you this, prayer, you won't be afraid to walk out the door, because you know you covered. You know you covered. Even if the government or nobody else does anything, you know you are covered. And we want to thank you all for joining in to It's All About You radio show. We want to thank you for your statements, for your work that you're out there doing, Sandra. We thank you for bringing those young men on to the show, because we want to hear them. We thank you, Antonio. We thank you to all the leaders that's at the round table, for those that didn't make it. We still thank God for Dennis. Dennis, we thank you for this door. And we will not close it. We will not stop. We will not quit because there's resolution and solution in all of us. There's a gift and a talent that we got to build something from the ground up ourselves and put our own gifts and talents together to make it happen. Let's make it happen. Amen. So one of y'all please do the honor and close us out.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time and we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to share. We pray, God, that the wisdom of God will come upon us, that we can be the solutions. We yield our hands, our feet,